So we made this prayer journey thing. We had 12 different things there, and the thought there is you do it for 5 minutes, you pray for an hour. I know there's nothing magical about the hour thought, but you had the sweet hour of prayer. Here in Matthew chapter 26, Jesus is talking to Peter, and he says to him, could you not watch with me 1 hour? And I don't keep on doing this as a remembrance to show you how bad Peter is, but I want you to show that even at the hardest and most difficult times, the times that you think people would even pray and pray in a greater way, our flesh is really weak. And so this is why it's consistent. We need to be consistent with this. We need to be disciplined with this. And it is easy to have this opportunity to pray for an hour. And that's what this kind of guidelines and these different stops. And I pray this helps you. As I told you last week, I told you it's not something I do every single day. And the idea of this form of doing it. But there is never a day go by that I don't try to spend some time with the Lord and spend some quality time with Him. And it's key. I tell you, it changes your life when you get to spend some time with Him. So prayer is so valuable. And I don't want to spend a lot of time talking about other things because I know we have 6 more stops on this. And it's just an overview, just a reminder of different things and just showing you and teaching you how you can pray for an hour and spend quality time with God. And I know that we did this a lot of times on Wednesday nights and Sunday nights, so I know this is new for some of you. It seems like I'm going super fast, but all those sessions are online. If you have an interest in listening to them, you can go back. It was during the months of, I think, June, July, and August. I actually started with May. We talked about around Mother's Day about a mother praying for their child and talked about how it's important to pray, and went all the way up through August with different thoughts about the prayer. But the prayer journeys went, I think, 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. A couple of the services, we spent a whole entire service talking about intercession, if I remember correctly. Whole entire service, actually a whole day talking about why it's good to praise God, because praising God is really important, and that's one of the keys. Puts us in the right spirit. If we praise Him, it will change the way we look at everything. So let's hit the first 6 really fast. Stop 1, praising. I tell you, if we take time to praise the Lord and just remember who He is and remember how powerful He is and how He loves us and remember all about how He's the one that's in control and how He is sovereign, how He is merciful and how He is good. He never does anything that's going to be harmful to you. You say, well, He allows things, and yes, He does, but He can make those things work together for good. We can rest in the Lord, and you take an attribute a day and just meditate on it for a few minutes, and it can put you in a whole different thought process. It really can. Take a multiple of attributes in a day. It gets your mind and your heart ready to be in a scope of saying, okay, I'm getting ready to talk. And that's where you come to the next one, is waiting. I'm getting ready to talk to the God of the universe. And imagine when we go up there and we sit before Him and talk to Him, there is a protocol. And you say, protocol. Well, you think about it. When you go visit the Queen, isn't there something you're supposed to do? I mean, you're going to bow or curtsy or whatever it is. There's a protocol when you meet certain people. You're going to get, if you went to meet Donald Trump, you're going to have to go through some type of probably scanner system, make sure that you don't have a gun. Somebody might even frisk you to make sure that you don't have any weapons on you, because there's lots of people who like to get rid of Donald Trump. There's all types of things. There's different things that are appropriate when approaching someone and when you're approaching. And so I think this is important to spend just a few minutes waiting. Waiting on what? Getting our hearts ready. Making sure we quieting all those distractions, because when you're trying to pray sincerely to God, you know what's going to happen? The devil is going to come at you and bring this to your mind and this to your mind. Now, I got to do this. That person you've been waiting on to call you calls you during that time. You get those texts and you get this and you get that. I don't know many people who could not wait an hour to return a text. And I know some of you might deal with emergency type. I know some police officers, my dad had to have a phone on, and maybe some of those with the Coast Guard had certain things and you had to be able to respond at a certain time. I understand that. But that's why it's good to get up there and get early before anybody else is going to be calling you and texting you, and wait on the Lord. During this time, I imagine going and talking before God, and during this time is the time where you just get your heart set aside. Lord, I love You. I want to quiet out all these other distractions. Lord, I'm not just rushing into Your presence. And you can rush into the presence of God, because sometimes we need to. But this is an opportunity to just wait on Him for a little while and just spend a few minutes getting your soul ready for a time of worship and a time of talking to God. I'm ready to do this now. And then we learned about confessing. Key. Confessing in our lives. And talked about how if I regard iniquity in my heart, God will not hear me. You know, we got to make sure that our hearts are right and clean before we go before God. We can't look at Him as Lord and God without being willing to say, Lord, You're it, and I need to serve You. And this is more important. You're more important to me than anything else. And as we consider the attributes of God, we learn about His holiness as we wait before Him, and as we follow into Him and get ready to be in the presence of God, we're going to realize there's a cleansing process that needs to happen. I don't want to go to God when I'm dirty. These idols in my life really are not that important to me, Lord. I love You, and I want to serve You, and I agree with You that I shouldn't be watching that, and I agree with You I shouldn't have this attitude, and I agree with You, God, I should be more faithful. And that's what confession is. We're agreeing with God about something in our lives. We're coming to the realization that I need to change something because God's Word says something different, or the Holy Spirit of God has impressed something upon me, and I realize this, Lord, and I've spent time seeing that You're God, and I've spent time entering into Your presence. And now, you know, what are we ever going to say to God someday? I know sometimes in the past I used to be a sports enthusiast. Am I going to go to God and say, God, you know what? I didn't serve You because I loved sports more. But when you think about it, that it's like, wow. And that's what our prayer time is. We're putting ourselves in a right perspective. We're taking time to recognize Him as God and see Him as God and say, I'm praising You, Lord, and I'm entering into Your presence. And when I enter into Your presence, I see that You're the God of the universe that controls all things, and that You're allowing me to speak to You, and that You care about me, and You want me to cast my cares upon You, and that You care about the things that are happening in my life, and that You love me, and that You can make all these things work together for good, and I have all these needs, all these things. All those other little pitiful things that we allow distract us and pull us away from God, it pales in comparison. It truly does. But see, most of us don't get to that spot to take time to pray and to praise Him and take time to get to a spot where we realize where we're entering to say, God, I'm sorry. Most of us think we're good. We're okay. It's okay I don't give. It's okay that I don't tell somebody else about Jesus. And we make up our own excuses. But when we spend a few minutes realizing whose presence we're entering into, all the other excuses really just seem, in my mind and for myself, they seem pitiful. And I want to change it because I've entered into the presence of God. In my own presence, and the presence of my family, and the presence of my church family, and the presence of other people, I can justify things. But when I truly stand before God and everything is laid open and laid, and the Bible talks about being laid open and being naked before Him, and He knows everything about us, it just puts a whole new perspective. And that's the person we're talking to. And when we realize and we let God do a work and a deep work in our hearts, we come to this scripture praying, saying, God, I don't deserve anything that You've given me. Instead of saying, God, I need this and I want this and You're going to have to make this happen. We've already gone to the point of praising Him. We've already gone to the point of waiting on Him. And when we see that we're confessing before Him and we get to that spot where He has made us clean and we're on our way to heaven and we can have a right relationship with God, with a God of heaven, and we come to this spot and say, I don't deserve any of this, but God, in Your Word, You've made us some promises. In Your Word, You say, if I will call unto You, that You'll answer me and that You'll give me the wisdom that I need. And Your Word, You say, if I will commit my ways unto You, You'll establish my thoughts. And Your Word, You tell me to delight thyself also in the Lord, and He'll give you the desires of thine heart. You know, in Your Word, You've given me this promise after this promise and after this promise. And what I'm doing is I'm claiming those promises. I'm saying, God, this strength is not based off of me. These promises You've given us is what I'm praying. I'm asking You, based off the fact You've told me to cast all my cares upon You, I'm coming into Your presence and talking to You, not because I think I'm worthy, because I know I'm not worthy, but because You've told me to call unto You, and You've promised me You're going to answer me, and I'm going to wait. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, which giveth to all men liberally. I'm going to ask You for wisdom because You told me You'll give it to me. I'm going to ask You for this because You told me You'll answer this. And this is what I'm basing my prayers upon. It's called scripture praying. The fifth thing is watching. And we talk about this, and we'll look here in this story real quick. Matthew chapter 26. Jesus is here, and he is on the way to the cross, and he has to go to Gethsemane, is where he gets arrested, but it's also the time when Jesus is praying unto the Father. Look what it says. We'll start in verse 36. Then cometh Jesus with them. And who is the them? It's referring to the 11. We also know from the other stories, we believe John Mark is there with them. We don't know how many others, but at least the 11 are there. Unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. So he asked this group of 11 to pray. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee. It's the inner circle, the people that he felt closer with. Don't ever be jealous just because someone's closer to somebody else. Sometimes people think of that, and they look at that, and they come jealousy. The devil's going to use anything to rip up your relationships and tear up your relationships. So make sure, and I'm not saying that you should be rude to others and you should focus on certain people, that you should have cliques. That's ungodly and just wrong. You should have love for others all the time. But here Jesus showing you that there's three that he was training and he was teaching them, and these three had a special ministry. Is it more important than the other disciples? No. But were they used by God? You see many of these names mentioned later on because he spent special, specific time with them. Let's keep on going. So he takes the three and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. So Jesus here, completely God, completely man at the same time. It's even hard to even imagine, but that's what he was because the Bible tells us that. He's sorrowful. His heart is broken. The three that are there know that. Peter's just been told he's going to deny him. Judas, he says, one's going to betray them. He's already told them that he's going to the cross. They don't know what all that's going to entail. I think the sorrow was the fact that God the Father turned away from him, that fellowship was broken because of the sins that was placed upon him for that period of time. But he became sorrowful even unto death, to the point that it was going to take his life almost. And what does he do? He asks the three that are closest to him in this world, tarry ye here and watch with me. He says, I want you to watch. He says, I want you to be spiritually alert. I want you to spend some time praying for me. He says, I've done all these things. I've taught you all these things. I've showed you all these things. Now, I want you to focus here, and I want you to watch with me. What's he doing? He's teaching them a lesson. A lesson I don't think Peter probably ever forgot. A lesson I doubt any of the three of them have forgotten. It's a lesson that I would never forget, but sometimes it's hard to apply. Because we are brought to this moment of needing prayer more than anything else right now in this world. This world is going crazy. You look at the media. You look at the things that are happening. I mean, New York, I think, was just passed, you know, the able to have an abortion up until birth. That's just crazy what the world is going through and what the world is doing. The need is there, but we're not alert. We're not spiritually alert. And he says to him, and look what happens. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let the cup pass from me, nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. So he's communing with the Father. And he cometh unto the disciples, and he findeth them praying with all their heart. No, he finds them asleep. And that's, I know we pick on that, but how many of us are asleep when it comes to spiritual conditions? That's why we need to be spiritually alert. And he says, and he said, finding them asleep, and saith unto Peter, he picks out Peter because he's training and teaching Peter something. What could you not watch with me 1 hour? And that's something that God spoke to my heart about was, can't you even spend an hour with me? Am I not worth it? All the needs you have, all the things you're asking for, could you not watch with me 1 hour? And he was teaching Peter such a valuable lesson that I think we need to repeat it over and over in our own lives and over our own heart. And he says in verse 41, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. So prayer helps us not enter into temptation. And he says, look, your spirit is definitely going to be willing to do this. I think if I said that if all of us wanted to be a better prayer warrior, most of us would say, yes, I know I want to do better at that. My spirit speaks within me as the Holy Spirit of God says, I want to pray more and I want to learn how to pray more. I want to be closer to God. Most of us, if not all of us, would say, yes, our spirit is willing, but our flesh is going to try to stop you. And so that's why we developed this thought of these 12 different things to help keep people on track, because it's easy when you pray to start thinking about this and worrying about this. And even it can be some good things or reasonable things, things that need to be done around the house, things that need done at work, visits that we want to go visit somebody else with. But that's why you've got to make sure we're spiritually alert. And it says continue in prayer and watch. That means be spiritually alert. On what? Make sure that your prayer is spirit led. Make sure that you're aware there's an enemy. Make sure that you realize the great need. And we've gone over those things before in the past. And I know by going through these, I want to spend time saying more. But stop six is where we stopped at last week. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness. So we should be praying for others. Interceding means us going to God on behalf of others. So what we are doing is we are co-laboring with God. God's the one that does the work, but God also tells us that He asks us to pray, to show us a need, to develop the need. And what we're doing is we're trying to work with God to bring someone something they need. And we talk about all the different major things for intercession. We talk about your family, your church, your country, the loss, difficult situations, things like that. So let's jump into step number seven. Stop number seven. Petitioning. So what's petitioning? Petitioning is when we bring to God our own request for ourselves. We've handled praising God, putting Him in the right perspective. We've handled waiting on God, making sure our hearts are ready. We've confessed. We are in Scripture praying. We have been spiritually alert, and now we're at this spot where we're petitioning. The Bible tells us in the model prayer, "Give us this day our daily bread." So there's nothing wrong with asking God for the things that we need. Specifically for ourselves. He tells us to do it. He not only tells us to ask for the big things, he even says something as little. I want you to realize daily bread is something that you depend on from me. It's something that is so small and so little that you think, oh, I can handle bread. I got two loaves at my house. He's saying, I want you to realize when you're talking to him, these are things that you need my help with. And so when we're talking about petitioning, I want us to remember some things that we should be specific. We should not think we got certain things our lives handled out. In my petitioning times, I ask for things such as being spiritually filled. I ask for things when it comes to wisdom. I ask for help and strength in certain prayers when it comes to my relationship with my church, my relationship with my family, my relationship with others. And it's something that I'm recognizing that the only way that I'm going to be able to do these things is by giving it over to the Lord and asking God for help. So petitioning on behalf of the others. I think it's important to be specific. You know why? When you're specific, you know what happens? God gets the glory. When you start saying, God, I need you to help me here. God, I need you to answer this prayer. God, please answer this prayer. Please work. Please do this. Please do that. And we're specific. When that happens, you know what happens? We're not saying, hey, look what I did. Look how I figured this out. Instead, we're saying, praise be to God because he answered this prayer. And I have on my petition list some different things that I need help with specifically. Sometimes it's a financial need. And sometimes it is a medical need. And it's amazing if you write down certain things, you start saying, okay, I have this problem medically. And you write it down, then later on as you're praying and God answers that prayer, you write that down the next date next to it and he answered that prayer. You know what that does? It builds your faith. It doesn't think, oh, that physical therapist helped me. And they may have, but God used him. God gave that chance and that opportunity. So we need to pray that God's will be done in our own life and that he may receive glory. So I have a list on my petition things. I have things such as being the right husband. I ask the Lord to help me to love my wife as Christ loved the church and help me to give myself to it. And these are reminders. I'm reminding God, but I'm also reminding myself and asking God, I want these things in life. I'm asking for these things. And this is something that you can spend a lot longer than 5 minutes. We went through the intercession thing. We looked at all those different things for the intercession. That could take an hour by itself if you focus on it. But this petitioning, God, I know that I am weak. I know that my spirit is willing, but my flesh is weak. I need your help in health needs. I need my help in physical needs. I need help when it comes to wisdom and being spiritually filled. It's a list of different things that we're asking God to work on our behalf, asking us to be a good witness, asking God to do all types of things. So we got to keep on going as time is leaving us. Thanksgiving. He said, Pastor, I think we should be more thankful. And I think you should be thankful. And I think as you you can't go from that first point of praising God and not have a heart of gratitude. When you enter into that heart of gratitude and you praise him, it begins to give you a heart of gratitude. As you enter into his presence, you got to be clean and you should be thankful. And thanksgiving is our next stop. It says, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is the act of expressing specific gratitude to God for blessings he has bestowed upon us. Thanksgiving differs from praise because praise focuses on who God is, whereas thanksgiving focuses on specifically what God has done for us. And you see these verses that are here in Psalms 116:12. It says, what shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. And this is a response there that, you know, God's done so much for me. And after I've just asked for all these things for other people, and after I sought God for myself, now I'm coming to the realization, God, you've already done so much for me. I can do nothing but praise you, and I can do nothing but thankful because of the fact that you've done these things for me. And I think about spiritual things. And one of the things I go through this Thanksgiving list, I talk about spiritual things. I talk about salvation. I tell you, if you can't get excited at the fact that you're saved and on your way to heaven, that you're in a right relationship with God and he's your father, and you can't put a smile on your face about that, there's something wrong with you. There is. And it's just, you know, that should give something. We begin to just think, God, I am thankful that you saved me. I'm thankful I'm on my way to heaven. I'm no longer burdened by this sin. I can have victory in Jesus. And I got all those things. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for the Bible and the Word of God. I'm thankful for the Holy Spirit. And once again, I know on a list, these are things that are going to be many days. It's just going to be something that's small and something you say very quickly, meaningfully, but quickly. But the Spirit of God is leading you on these things. And the Spirit of God helps you to focus on salvation and then focus on that. If the Spirit of God helps you to focus on physical things, and I think about physical things like family, the opportunities that God gives us with family, the opportunities, I don't know if I have, no, the opportunities God has given us, so many other things. I tell the Lord I'm thankful for America. And when I begin to think about all the things that I have already, you know, from a place to live and a vehicle to drive and clothes that don't fit me or clothes that do, or to, you know, all those different things, you know, I'm blessed. And I remember that, and I'm thankful for that. I know I've already asked God for all these things, and I ask God for these things, and I put myself, but when I come to this part of Thanksgiving, I'm reminding myself, God, you've already answered this prayer so much in the past. I just got to take time and say how thankful I am. And it tells us that, you know, there's things, I thank God for the ministries he's given me. I thank God for the church family he's given me. I thank God for all these things that he's done for me, and we should also try to do something. I try on my best when I go through these sheets to find something that I'm new that I'm thankful for every day. You say, what do you mean? Haven't you asked? There's always something I can be thankful for. A new friendship, something new that God showed me in the Bible, something new that maybe I received or that I bought. You know, things like that. Thankfulness is such a key here. Next one. And I know this one might be a little goofy. You think it sounds a little goofy, but this is something new that I've added into my prayer life that I really have become to thoroughly enjoy. The Bible says, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. It also says, praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing praises unto his name, for it is pleasant. I tell you, it's been an encouragement to me, and you know that I'm not the greatest singer in the world. But when other people are around, if someone else is in another spot, I'll just read through these words and I'll just sing, you know, quietly or silently to God because he can hear. At the same time, these doctrinal things that fill these hymn books and these songs up, it takes my heart and my spirit to another level. I sing to him, you know, how amazing his grace is, how I can have victory in Jesus and the old rugged cross and can it be, and all those great songs that if you take a minute to realize you're singing them to God because you believe in what's being said through those songs because they're praising God. So taking time to be thankful, but then transitioning that thankfulness and that heart of thankfulness to just opening up your heart for singing. Praising the Lord. He said, Pastor, I don't sing. God deserves your song. He tells you in the scriptures to go into his presence with singing. And he said, well, I do that when I come to church. That's great. That's wonderful. But I tell you, if you tried this, I really think it can be a help and an encouragement to you. He said, what songs am I going to sing? Well, you can pick songs, but I try to be spirit-led with it. Many times I'll ask the Lord, what song do you want me to sing today? Or something will come to my mind. So you just know more. No, it's the Holy Spirit of God that can lead and guide on that. That's what you're praying. You're asking the Spirit to lead you through this. This is not a game. This is, I'm trying to commune with God, and the Holy Spirit is active in this prayer. I don't want it to be fleshy. I don't want it to be what I want. It can be something that's a new, more modern song, or it can be something that's an old song. There is good songs that are even written today, too. I'm not talking about the contemporary style, but I'm talking about newer songs that have positive and great messages to them. Let's keep on going. Next one is meditation. And I know that if we're talking about, Pastor, how can you meditate in something for only 5 minutes? And I told you before, the way I did this is when I go through my Proverbs for a day or my Psalms for a day, I'll pick only a few verses and I'll look for something specifically. Well, I'll look for some of those prayer promises, and I'll focus on that, and I'll meditate on it. But meditation is a key to unlocking God's word to us. Pondering and applying God's word to us changes our lives. Joshua 1:8 says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. You have the word success, and you have the word prosperous, and what's it connected to? It is connected to the meditation of the Word of God. And so if we spend time focusing on a small portion of Scripture and musing about it, letting it go in our mind, go in our heart, God will be able to speak to us and show us and demonstrate certain things that are necessary. Psalms 1 and 2 says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight, he has found delight. I don't know any more time that I delight in God's word except for when he shows me something. And if you're sitting there and you're thinking about it and God shows you something new in a passage of Scripture, or he helps you while you're thinking about it and meditating, I can take that truth and I can take that truth with me all day long and I can think about that. You know, this week we're talking about delighting in God's guidance or God's plans for your life in the morning worship service. And I thought about that verse, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. All week long I thought, man, God orders the steps of a good man. But he delighteth in his ways. And God delights in the ways of a good man. And I want God to delight in me. I want God to be pleased with me. How does that happen? You can grab a hold of things in the Bible and the Word of God and little things, and you think about them, and you begin to delight in them. I mean, when's the last time God spoke to you from Scripture? If you're willing to say yes and be obedient, then that's a good thing. If not, you're right, you're not going to like it. But I'm talking about in your Bible study, as you were reading and you came across something that God just spoke to your heart about, that's something that I find great pleasure in. And if you don't, you're missing something. Psalms 119:15 says, I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. And the Bible says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in these. All these wonderful, great truths. God's word is something we should be thinking about and meditating on. The Bible makes a connection between meditation and prosperity in our Christian lives. But there are so many believers today, and I've been guilty of it myself, that do not take time to think about God's word. We just fly through it, and we miss what he's trying to teach us, and we miss what he's trying to tell us. I'd rather you take a verse a day and study it and meditate on it and learn from it than read 200 verses and not get anything out of it. Because God has something for you in the Scripture. And when you start getting something out of that one verse, you know what you're going to want to do? You're going to want to read more than one. And then you're going to want to read more than two. It's because meditation is something that God enlightens us. He doesn't give us a new revelation, but he does give us he enlightens us with the truths that have been in the Word of God all the time. Okay, next thing. And I know this might be another one that people say, this is kind of a strange one, like the singing and the waiting, but listening. You ever talk to somebody who talked for an hour and you got to talk for just 1 or 2 minutes? Come on. I know some of our husbands are saying, I do, but I don't want to raise my hand because my wife's going to slap me. But, you know, there are people who are talkers. You say, Pastor Pease, you're one of them. Now, I might be a talker a little bit. But, you know, there are people who just talk and talk and talk, and you get to talk for like 2 or 3 minutes. And you're like, well, I wish I could talk a little bit more. Yeah, what about God? He wants to speak to your heart. And taking time to listen to him. Now, different things, and this is one of those key things that I think it's a necessity that much prayer takes place, but I think it's a necessity that there is a silence. There's a quote. It says, of necessity, much of prayer must take place in silence because much of prayer concerns the believer is seeking divine guidance. Not only will God reveal how to pray effectively, if we listen, he'll reveal how we should live effectively also. And here's the point is we've been asking God and asking God and asking God for things in the last 50 minutes. But how about this? If we never take time to listen to what he wants us to do, how are we going to know what we do? Most of the time we just go and we pray and we head out the door. I'm glad I gave it over to God. And then we decide for ourselves what we think is right and what we think is best. But this idea of listening and taking time, and I have a notepad many times when I'm doing my prayer, especially when I'm doing these 12 stops, and when I'm listening to the Lord, I'm asking for specific things, and I'm just being silent and letting God say, okay, you need to talk to this person, you need to do this, you need to do that, and things are brought to my mind. See, Pastor, you're just prioritizing. I think it's the Holy Spirit of God that speaks to us. He does. The Holy Spirit of God is not something that just the charismatic church has. The Holy Spirit of God is something that he has given to us, and he wants to speak to your heart. He wants to speak to your life. Say, I don't feel that. I don't hear that. It's because we don't take time to listen. He does. He wants to speak to you through the sermons that you hear. He wants to speak to you through the singing that you do. These are not just ritualistic things. And in your prayer time, if you will stop and say, God, speak to my heart, and if you've cleansed yourself and you put yourself in the right perspective by seeing where he is, God, I need to know what you want with this. Now, is he going to talk about every single thing, every single time? No, there's a faith that's involved. Sometimes Daniel prayed for 21 days and didn't get the answer because there was satanic opposition. But he will speak to your heart about things that he gives you direction for. But if you're never going to know what to say, you never know what to do until you ask and listen. I don't know how many times in our lives, and I know one husband and wife, and the and I'm not going to tell you who it was, not even going to tell you if they're a part of a church, but the comment was, my wife asked me what she should do, and she does it in like a 15-minute conversation. She starts talking and telling me, what about this, what about that? And he says, I could have answered her after the first minute if she just would have sat there and listened. Instead, she just sat there and talked and talked and talked and talked. And he says, I could have said the answer within 30 seconds. I says, well, all that talking, she's expressing all her concerns. She wants things to be heard and understood. And there's a take and give on that, but the husband's like, I could have given the answer if they just would have listened. I think sometimes God says that. And God says, if they would just listen, instead of just telling me all the things that are wrong, they're supposed to cast their, if they would just stop and listen to what the scripture says and what I'm trying to say, it makes a difference. And I'm not picking on ladies, because I know there's some men that are talkers too. And if they would just stop and listen, the truth of the matter is, God wants to speak to our hearts. Listening implies confidence that God does speak to us. You say, Pastor, I think that's ridiculous. I don't think I should waste 5 minutes of my time just listening to God. You don't think God's going to talk to you then? If I thought God wanted to talk to me and I needed to sit quietly so he could speak to my heart, 5 minutes is nothing. There's people and stories of people sitting for hours just waiting to hear from God and laying the heart out to God and just listening to what God has to say. It implies confidence that God will speak to you. During this time, ask God about specific situations. Write down the response that he gives to you. Don't make up responses. Let the Holy Spirit does it. If there's silence, then continue to pray and leave it for the next day. God alone knows the solution to every problem we face. And if we will listen, stop and listen to it, God can give us a solution. If we don't stop to listen, how's God going to give us a solution? Last but not least, praising again. You say, Pastor, you made too big of a deal out of praising. No, you can't praise him enough. And so we started at the beginning praising him to have the right focus. We're leaving at the end praising him again, saying, man, you are God, and you took time to listen to me. You are God, and you gave me. And we praise him because he is all-powerful, because all-knowing. And your prayer journey should conclude with praising him, the greatness of God, and that he was willing and able to listen to you. It's the splendor of God. We can't encourage you the most to have faith and praise him, because he has heard you and he can give you an answer. So often we don't praise him because he's heard us. But man, God listens to us and hears us too. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for today. And I pray the people that have heard these lessons before this summer, that they weren't discouraged during this time or bored during this time. I know I was encouraged by being reminded of these things. Lord, help us, our prayers, not to be empty. Help us to truly seek your face, desire for you to speak to our hearts, to be spirit-led, recognizing there's an enemy and recognizing how great the need is, bringing the needs, our own needs and needs of others, while praising you, while singing to you, while being thankful to you, cleansing our hands, because, Lord, as we enter into your presence, we need you to hear from us. Well, I ask that you speak to people's hearts here today. I know a lot of them are going through challenges, and a lot of them are going through hardships. A lot of them are doing things and facing things that they have no clue what to do or how to handle it. Help them to wait on you. Help them to spend time not just praying the way they think prayer should be done, but pray in a way that's allowing God to work and change your own hearts and minds too. Lord, I also pray for the service to follow. Lord, we don't want these to be empty words. We truly want you to, your presence to be felt and a difference to be made in people's lives today. Help the things to follow, like the food and this inspiration, but help us not to look past this time of worship, this time of Bible study. In Jesus' name, amen.